So first of all, I want to thank the organizers for putting together this very interesting workshop and for inviting me to present at this conference. So this talk will be somewhat detached from the main theme of frustrated magnetism, but it's you will see it's more like studying interesting field theories that can arise in quantum many-body systems. And there will be no connection to experiments, but at least I can tell you that these field theories are sufficiently simple and can be formulated very precisely so that we can put them onto computer and study what they do in an unbiased way. And I should, from the outset, acknowledge student working with me, Scott Jarrett, who did all the heavy numerics in these projects and also contributed crucial analytical insights during these studies. So here is the outline of the talk. I will give brief motivation for these models that we will study, and then I will define them precisely on a lattice, and this, so we will have models are roughly two particles with which have mutual statistical interaction, and I will sketch how we can obtain sign-free reformulation and then study these models in Monte Carlo, and will present results for two typical cases. One is theta equal pi, and one is theta equal 2 pi over 3, and then we'll sketch how we can understand all the phases qualitatively and write down field theories for phases and phase transitions. At the end, I will mention a variant of this model where we can actually obtain the phase diagram analytically. And then I will conclude with some future directions. So after, I do not need much introduction after two preceding talks. So in we know that excitations, particles with non-trivial statistics arise in many interesting 2D systems, Laughlin quasi-particles in fractional quantum Hall effect is one instance, and so when we take one anion around the other, the wave function picks up a phase e to I to alpha, where alpha is determined by the fraction of the quantum Hall state. And the instance closer to the topics in this workshop is Z2 spin liquid, where we have spinons and visons which have mutual pi statistics. And now the kind of two position this talk with respect to the previous talks. Previous talks studied situation deep in the topological phases, while here I want to ask what happens when such excitations start condensing. How do they condense? And this is useful, for example, as a way to understand approximate phases proximate to phases with topological order. So this example we have seen many times, I will call it Z2 cross Z2 with mutual pi statistics, and it arises, for example, in the Kitaev story code, which mathematically is equivalent to the Z2 matter plus Z2 gauge field. So the excitations in the deconfined phase are Z2 charge and Z2 fluxes, and Z2 here refers that the particle number can be only 0 or 1, but 2 is equivalent to 0. And when we take Vison When we take spin on around the y-zone, we have phase minus one. And what in this case, we know very well what happens when these particles start condensing. So this is a phase diagram which was established already in 1980s when people studied with Z2 matter plus Z2 gauge theory. And if we introduce y-zone hopping, when the y-zone gap closes, we go from the deconfined phase to confined phase. Or when we introduce spin-on hopping, when we go to the Higgs phase, and in this case, the Higgs and confined phases are connected. They are the same phase. There is interesting, something interesting happens along this self-dual line. There is this segment of first order phase transition, which is like really like a liquid and gas coexistence between more Higgs or more confined type state. So now, in this talk, I will focus on the case when particles are U1 particles. So we have two such species. Both of them are assumed to be bosons, but when we take one boson around the other, the wave function acquires phase e to I theta. And I will be throughout working in Euclidean space-time. So here, particles are represented by word lines or lines or closed loops in space-time. And then we have two species of such lines. Our partition sum is sum of all possible configurations of such loops with some weighting, and each time we have a cross-linking between the two species, we have effect of e to I theta. And the main question that I want to ask is how such particles condense, and it's a non-trivial question because mutual statistics introduces interferences. When you have particles of type 1 present, it scrambles, they act as fluxes for particles of type 2 and scramble their propagation. And the case theta equal pi is particularly challenging and interesting. So let me say from the outset is that it is qualitatively different when Z2 cross Z2. And here, just running a little bit ahead, this is the phase diagram in the U1 cross U1 case. And you see these two phases, when I condense one particle or when I condense the other particle, are actually now cannot be connected. And in this case, it's fair to ask what is happening along this line when I am starting in this phase and then changing the parameters so that both types of species want to condense simultaneously. And two possibilities that you can imagine is one is when they will not really condense but will go into some critical state. And the other is that when they will phase separate. And even though I will not explain it in any detail, another connection of this question to the topics in this conference is that this question whether we have such critical loop state or phase separation is related to the question of the confined critical point in spin systems with U1 symmetry. Okay. So now let me define our models precisely. So I work in 2 plus 1D space-time, so just 3D classical stat-mech model. I have two interpenetrating cubic lattices. I have closed loops of two types residing, say blue type resides on one lattice and red type resides on the other lattice. And you can think of these closed loops as conserved integer valued currents. And now I assume that there are some intraspecies interactions. say, some short-range intraspecies interactions. For example, if I had just one type of loop and I have this interaction g squared over 2t, if t is very small, it does not want to have any of these loops. If t is very large, energy is small, so when there is entropic effect, loops want to proliferate. And this just single species model is a well-known representation of a 3DXY model in terms of bosonic currents. And now I have intraspecies interactions for type 1, intraspecies interactions for type 2, and then I have this term which I wrote here as integral of a space-time of J1 times A2, and A2 is not a new variable, it's something which is completely slaved to J2, flux of A2 encodes J2. And this object, you see that it actually counts the cross-linking of the loops. So just think about places where J1 is non-zero, say a loop of strength 1, then this will just give you integral around that of A2 around that loop, which is the same as flux of A2, the same of J2. So you counted how many J2 loops went through the loop enclosed by J1. Okay? And actually, it is this representation which allows this model to be reformulated in a sign-free way. So both the original Z2 cross Z2 case and this U1 cross U1 case cannot be simulated by studying the particles. Because of this statistical phase, you have sign problem in Monte Carlo. However, the phase diagram for the Z2 was determined from classical Monte Carlo of Z2 matter plus Z2 gauge classicalizing gauge theory. And something similar happens here, but this model can be formulated a special meta gauge system, and then it can be studied in Monte Carlo. Now, here are the results from the study. On left panel is phase diagram for theta equal pi, right panel is for theta equal 2 pi over 3. So let me go over the phases. In both cases, when T1 and T2 is small, we are in the phase where we have, it's very costly to have any loops, so we have only tiny loops popping up and disappearing in the space-time, and we call this gap J1 and J2. Now, let me imagine keeping T2 small, so J2 loops are still absent, but then as I increase T1, we will have condensation of J1 loop in a regular 3DXY transition. Now, at large T1 and T2, when these loops really want to condense like crazy, something interesting happens is that they indeed do, but they condense in the case theta equal pi in doubles, and in case theta equal 2 pi over 3 in triples. Okay? And then there is an interesting intermediate regime. We have intermediate phase for theta equal 2 pi over 3 and direct transition between these phases for theta equal pi. So let me just say a few more words about this phase at very large T1 and T2. So imagine just taking T1 to infinity, when the only place where J1 current enters is here, and the summation over J1 of, let me take theta equal 2 pi over n, e to minus I 2 pi over n J1 times A2 basically pins A2 to be n times integer, so curl of A2 will be integer. That's a crude argument why in this phase we will have n-tupled condensate. But actually, more precise argument, more precise statement, which I will not explain, but one can show very rigorously, is that these phases should be thought as condensation of bound state of n type 1 particles and type 2 vortices. Now, let me go to the intermediate regime, coupling regime. So this, in the case theta equal pi, there is no intermediate phase. We have a direct transition between these two phases, condensate of J1, gap J2, and interchange, gap J1, condensate of J2. And in the specific model that we studied, actually all of this turns out to be strong first order line. And here is how we establish this. So we just look at histograms of thermodynamic quantities, and when we see double peaks, that's an indication of phase separation. And the distance between peaks is, gives roughly strength of the first order, and that first order character is weakest in the middle and strongest towards the boundary. Now, this is what happens in this specific model. I do not think it's fundamental, but at the moment we do not have an instance of short-range loop model where we would have a critical state along this line. So now let me discuss intermediate coupling in the case theta equal 2 pi over 3. So this phase, one way we can distinguish it from all other phases is by considering this transverse cross current correlation function. So we can measure this in Monte Carlo at small wave vector k, and we take the smallest wave vector k equal to 1 over L. And when we multiply this by 1 over L, in this phase with no loops, clearly it will vanish. It actually vanishes as 1 over L cubed. In this intermediate phase, this object approaches a quantized value determined by the statistical angle theta. Okay? And in this in this n-tuple condensate phase, it approaches some non-zero but non-universal value. So how do we understand this intermediate phase? So I call this phase a condensate of J1 and J2. And the precise meaning of condensate can be given as follows. Let me write each current as curl of some gauge auxiliary field alpha, and I will divide by 2 pi for later convenience. And then this is, let me just plug this into the action I had in terms of currents. And now let me do something which is mathematically not allowed, but is qualitatively correct in this phase. I will forget that these objects were integer valued. I will treat them as real valued. When I have a Gaussian action, and I can calculate in with this action, for example, longitudinal current-current correlations, and at wave vector k, they vanish as k squared. All these cross transfers cross-current correlations, and at wave vector k, they go as minus k over theta. And this exact start with, so these are particles. So zero